This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. The holiday season is here. It's the perfect time for overeating. But a new study shows that how much you eat may not be as important as when you eat it. Yeah. Researchers say they may have found the right window for eating, at least in mice. The results were published in Cell Metabolism this week. Amir Zarpar is one of the authors of that paper, and an assistant professor of gastroenterology at the University of California, San Diego. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Zarpar.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. So you had a group of mice that were allowed to eat freely and another set that had a restricted feeding schedule. They had to eat within a certain period. Tell us what you found.
That's right. So when you feed mice a high-fat diet, they like to eat that food all the time. They eat it during the nighttime and during the daytime. And instead of getting a good day's sleep, they tend to eat the food. So we wondered whether if we restricted the time of eating to only the nighttime when the mice are active, whether that would change the outcome, whether they would become fat or not, or get diabetes, or have all these negative consequences of the high-fat diet. What we found was that when we restricted the feeding to only the nighttime, that the mice ate the same amount of food. So they really pigged out during that time, but they didn't become fat and they didn't get diabetes and they didn't have any of the negative consequences of eating a high-fat diet.
Wow, that must have been surprising.
It was. And actually, what was neat about this current study was that we had previously shown that this prevents obesity. But what we showed in this study was that it works on different kinds of unhealthy diet, and that it reverses obesity, and that it also works at different time ranges as well. So we tried it at 8 hours, we tried it at 9 and 12 hours as well. It didn't work so well at the 15-hour time point, but it did work at the 12-hour.
So let me just recap that. As long as you restricted the time to that time window, 9, 12 hours, the mice could eat anything they wanted to and did not get fat.
Yeah, and what was interesting was that they actually would eat as much as the mice that had free access to food, occasionally a little bit more or a little bit less.
Yeah.
But despite eating this practically the same amount of calories, they just did not have those negative consequences.
So can you tell us why that might be?
So my colleague, Amandine Checks, did exhaustive studies on this. What we noticed was that the longer animals fasted, the less likely it was that the energy that they consumed would turn into fat. You can imagine that if the body is expecting a fast coming, that they would store energy in a way that is more readily available. And fat isn't the best way to store that kind of energy. Fat is more like a long-term storage, our body's way of putting energy into long-term storage. So the energy that is being absorbed from the food is just being stored differently in these cases. The other thing that my colleague Amandine showed was that when animals are fasting, there just seems to be less inflammation in the fat tissue as well. And those mechanisms are not 100% well understood, but we'll get there.
So what about cheating? Let's say I got off the diet. It's a holiday. It's a rat holiday, and I'm eating a big meal. Did they ruin their sequence? Did they ruin that losing weight part?
No, this was another interesting finding in this paper that we did a lot of these studies in anticipation of applying this to humans, and we thought that the diet that people maintain during the weekday when they have set schedules, tend to be not as social, are able to control their diets more, it often tends to be different from that of the weekend when we tend to go out more and eat more high-fat food. So we did that in mice, where we restricted their diet for 5 days out of the week, and on the weekends we gave them a break and let them eat however much they wanted. What we found was that they were still protected against obesity in that condition.
Now, how can we? I guess people could try this on their own. This is something you can try at home. Not eating outside a 12-hour window, I guess is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And how long would it take to see results if you tried that? From your rat studies, how long would you expect?
Well, in the mice, we're seeing some very interesting effects early on. So, for example, we see changes in cholesterol and cholesterol metabolism. Within the order of 1 to 2 weeks, we see changes in glucose homeostasis, or how much the blood sugar. We see that within the order of days. The changes in fat takes a little bit longer, and seeing like changes in, for example, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease or the liver effects of obesity takes a few weeks longer as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talk a lot on this program about the microbiome. Do you notice the difference in the microbiome on a diet like this?
So in a separate study that we published back-to-back with this first study that Amandine did, is that we showed that time-restricted feeding makes some interesting changes to the gut microbiome. First of all, we showed that when mice consume a high-fat diet, they lose a lot of the dynamic structure or dynamic changes that happens normally within the gut microbiome, and that when we put them on a time-restricted feeding, we restore some of the dynamic changes in a select number of species in the time-restricted feeding mice. And it just so happens that those species that we identified have been hypothesized in previous studies to play an important role in metabolism.
Mm-hmm. You talked about a high-fat diet. We hear today that a lot of the problems are with a high-carb diet. Would the same results be expected?
So we tried several different kinds of diet in these mice. We tried a high fructose diet, and as you know, there's some controversy as to whether adding high fructose corn syrup to a lot of our foods could explain some of the metabolic diseases that we're seeing. And what we found was that time-restricted feeding protected against the negative effects of a high fructose diet. Also, the high-fat diet that we used in our original study was very high fat. So it was 60% fat, which is equivalent to eating fast food for every single meal. So we used a diet that was lower in fat, about 30%, but also had a lot of sucrose in it. And we found that the time-restricted feeding protected against that kind of diet, the negative consequences of that diet as well.
Could it be if you're a midnight snacker, your body has sort of shut down and it's not expecting more food for the day, and with those consequences coming?
Yeah, you know, we can speculate that what's happening is that papers from our lab and in other labs have shown that the genes that control metabolism are highly circadian. And when we consume food at suboptimal times, the body just may not have the right genes that are being expressed at that time and decide to shuttle that towards building up fat cells as opposed to glycogen or some other forms of energy that may be more readily available.
So it says, I'll take the easiest route possible. We're not. The shop is not open. We'll just make fat instead of turn it into energy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's nighttime. It's off hours. Why would you need energy? We want to make fat out of it.
Exactly. Like there is excess food around, and whenever we have excess energy around, and it just makes more sense to put it into long-term storage.
Mm-hmm. So can you do a human study on this and get some human results?
We would love to do a human study on this, and we're in the planning phases of – we're trying to apply for grants and to get funding to do human studies. As you know, doing human studies is much more expensive, and since we can't control the diet and the timing of food consumption like we can in mice, we need to include more humans to show – more participants in the study to show an effect. And hence, they tend to be a little bit more expensive.
Mm-hmm. But a nutritionist could read the study and say, well, let's see if we could try it. Or you could do it yourself. There's no drugs involved in this. It's just changing the time of day or cutting out those midnight snacks.
I don't think we have enough information here to change practice guidelines mm-hmm. or to make recommendations to patients. But we have anecdotally heard a lot of people who have adopted the diet and who report to us their outcomes. But of course, you have to keep in mind that the people where it didn't work are probably not calling us and telling us that it didn't work. So,
is there something different that you would do in your mice studies that you might narrow down, you know, what's going on there, or if you continue to do this?
I think that there are lots of interesting ways that you can go forward. And, for example, with the gut microbiome, we're always interested in seeing – and I think this is – many labs are investigating this, that although over the last 10 years we've understood that the gut microbiome probably plays a tremendous role in obesity and metabolism, what is the mechanism through which this affects metabolism? And I think what our study did is that it helps us understand what's going on in the gut microbiome a little bit more and maybe suggest some ways that the gut microbiome can affect metabolism. But I think we need to do more experiments to understand this better.
Fascinating, Dr. Zarinpar. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me on.
We'll be eating differently, I think. Assistant Dr. Amir Zarinpar is Assistant Professor of Gastroenterology at the University of California in San Diego.